And then they paid me money that was not my level, all right? If I was supposed to get, just as an example, if I was supposed to get 100 naira, they paid 200 naira into my account. I know it was in hundreds of thousands, so it was a lot of money. So I now went to the accounts department and said, wait, I have a problem here. This is not my level, this money that I was paid. So the man said, okay, he was planning to come and see me. So he said, I should come. So he started walking. He said, yes, he knows that. Actually, the money then, the overpayment was 400,000 naira. This was many years ago. So he said that there's no problem, that they will solve it. I should just give him a check for 200,000, and then I can keep the balance 200,000 naira. So that the whole thing will go away. I can shake it. You know, there are some things I do not consider. Do you understand? It's not as if I'm such a righteous man, just that some things are stupid. Do you get my point? So I'm bringing an issue here. So temptations have different levels. For Jesus Christ, those were not the levels of temptation. He went through that. I'm not saying he did not, but he went through it early. He went through those things early. They wanted to make him king. Those are temptations also. But those are but then the depth of the level of temptation for him was that we know the will of God, but it's difficult. We know the will of God, to do it is difficult. That's the depth of temptation. I know what is right to do, but my flesh does not want to do it. So what do we do? God will not say, because of that, you will now not do it. No. He said, what do you do? He told his disciples, come, let us go and pray. And he said, pray that you do not enter into temptation. He went in there 3 times. He said the same words in prayer. And we're back to it. It's prayer. That was how he obeyed the will of God. He said, if it was possible, let this cup pass over me. All right? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. After I prayed that again and again, the Bible says angels came and strengthened him. That's why I said to my wife and Joy then, when we were watching Passion of the Christ in our sitting room a few years ago, and I said to them that it was not paining him. All that beating they were giving him, I said, this was not very painful. He said, what do you mean? How can I say this is not painful? I'm not saying that the pain, the lash was not tough. I'm not saying these Roman soldiers were not, you understand? They were not brutal people. I'm just saying that the man that's been beaten had gone to the garden and had come out of the garden. The suffering was inside the garden when he bled without anybody touching him. As at now, he has strength from above to handle all these things that he's handling. How did he get the strength? What I was talking about. He went to his garden. Are you getting my point? He went to the garden. He didn't just say like Peter, I will never deny you. If Peter had understood, he would have said that everybody will leave you, you'll be alone. Sir, please, as we are leaving you, can you draw me back onto you? Do you understand my point? That would have been, Jesus would have given him a word that would make sure he couldn't leave. We say, no, me, leave you for what? Just watch me. I never trusted this Thomas. He's still, you know, doubting. As for Judas, he still won't let him stay with anybody. John is too young. He's a small boy. He never see tough times. You know that kind of thing? No. He tried that, and Jesus had to prove to him that by strength shall no man prevail. Are you getting my point? You cannot do it by your strength. That's not what we're talking about prayer. So prayer is the way by which we obey this word, this righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. That's what we're talking about, all of these things. So, I said you should open to Hebrews chapter 6, all right? Okay, good. Let's just quickly read it. So, he said, this is how I handled it from verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I'm reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 4. He said, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who is that? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. The confession is of the truth that we know. He said, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. That time of need, we said before, is not the time I need a car. That time of need is not the time I need a wife. It's not the time I need a child. It's not the time I need more money. No, that's not what I was talking about. It was talking about the time that obedience to the revealed will of God becomes difficult. Remember, we are praying about the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. So if your name is Corrie ten Boom, and you get to the point where you have to obey God and shake the hand of a guard who killed your sister,
Listen, I was reading a book somebody lent me last week by one man called The Story of One Man, Samuel Doctorian. Once he went to Suriname to go and preach. He said, very powerful, that's this move of the Spirit. Powerful. Except that the hotel they put him to sleep in. He said he didn't know what the things were. Whether a lizard or whatever. I talked to myself. I said, maybe it's a war gecko. The man is not used to war geckos. The things were crawling inside his room. And flies were flying inside. And mosquitoes were flying. And he was wondering that, God, why would you do this to me? That he couldn't complain about the people. Those people were not rich too. They were poor people. And so he understood. So he said, but one thing he understands is how to cry to God. So he prayed and prayed and prayed. When he finished praying, suddenly peace dawned upon him. Then he got up. He looked at the war geckos. They were looking so beautiful. The war geckos were looking so nice. He started inviting the mosquitoes, come this side, come and fly on this side. That suddenly, his perception to things changed. The mosquitoes did not change. The war geckos did not change. The flies did not change. The man changed. See, all this it's obvious you're not filled with the Spirit. Because like somebody said, many of the things you have now, kings did not have it just 100 years ago. Kings. Yet you sit in the midst of it, like a mosquito. Why? Because you are not filled with the Spirit of gratitude. The Spirit of God is not in you to let you see things differently. Told you once I went to church in Lagos. Before I went there, I was wearing white. And it rained. And of course, Nigerian road, not these modern roads now that we have all over the country, we thank God for it. The bus passed like this, you go jump so that they won't splash mud on my white starched linen. I remember it was white, it was starched, it was linen. And I will enter Covenant Christian Center for the first time. Not now. Small, very small church at that time. And I saw after a while the man of God came up. That's Pastor Poju that we all know now. Just one young man that looked just maybe about my age group, maybe a little older than maybe a year or two. Yeah. And the man picked up his microphone. We have a message here now, inheritance inside the new man. And he began to preach. Oh, that tape is 1 hour, 30 minutes. The message that it was 2 hours, 20 minutes. They didn't catch the last bit of it. This man preached until I could not sit. I was twisting in my seat. This is the story. When I was going back, this is how I was walking. That is, I didn't care again. No, that white linen, don't splash with mud. I said, splash. This is your opportunity. You won't have it for a long time. Be splashing it right now. Because I heard the word that says, when you read the scriptures, you'll understand about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. That any time you go through the sufferings of Christ, watch out, you're about to step into a kind of glory. Amen. I said, Jesus. The first person I heard teach the word of God, and I understood that suffering is not always a lack of faith. Sometimes a phase of life. When I came out, I was walking recklessly. That one, if you splash mud on me, I will have blessed you. Thank you for that mud. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, listen, when you are filled with the right spirit, your reaction to things differ. But our message is on this prayer thing. How do we get that spirit that makes a Corrie ten Boom shake the hand of a man she hated? How do we get that spirit that makes a Samuel Doctorian look at an inconvenient, uncomfortable hotel room and suddenly begin to love it? How do we get that kind of spirit that makes Algie Lutono give money to a man that was extorting him? Knowing the word of God is the first place, is the first thing. Second, Paul said here in Hebrews chapter 4, that we should hold on to our confession. Then third, he said, draw near to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I've been saying it
again and again, and I say it one more time today, that is the main reason Christians pray. Satan cannot do anything to you if you will obey the word of God. The only thing he tries to do is to cause you to disobey it. He will explain to you. At least even God will understand. He is mindful that we are but flesh. You know, Satan knows how to quote. So, Madam Corrie ten Boom, even if you don't forgive him, God knows this one is bad. Okay, last week, the man who stole your food, did you not forgive him? You did. The man who slapped you on the road, did you not forgive him? You did. This one, even God will understand. That's what Satan does. He knows that once you don't obey, you cannot enter into his rest. How do you let him know? You want to give him that money? Why should you give him? They will take you for a fool. This business place, they will know that you are an idiot. Everybody's going to come and start suing you recklessly. Even the pastor, go and report him to the pastor. They will side you. They will be on your side. At the end of the day, when you agree, you have disobeyed. God said, what should you do? Take those words. Take those words. I told you, when God gives you words, he doesn't want you to obey them, he wants you to bring them to prayer. The Bible says when you approach to God, take with you words. Take those words with you to prayer. Righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. This is how we walk into it. That's how we walk into it. We take those words to prayer. And Jesus gave us a very good example. Like that one, he said that, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that hate you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. So, if you are despitefully using me, I won't just use force. I say, let me just do you good. As I'm doing this good to you, God will punish you. you know that attitude? No, God doesn't want that. That would say if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land. You are not willing, you are just obedient. You won't eat any fruit. You won't eat any good. It has to be willingness with obedience. You will not, when you say do good to the man, it doesn't mean wish him bad but do him good. That's not what he said. Wish him well while you are doing him good. Jesus looked at those who were persecuting him, killing him. And he looked and said, don't hold this thing. No, it was this guy that said that one, Stephen. Jesus said that, give me the words of the Lord Jesus about that. Father, forgive them, thank you. For they do not know what they are doing. And in case you do not know, when Jesus prays, God listens. So when they say, Father, forgive them, God brought forgiveness. Anybody who wants, my son said, I should give you. All those who were judged were those who rejected the forgiveness. From the bottom of his heart, he said that prayer. That book we're reading, Samuel Doctorian, he said that, now he's Armenian. His father, I don't know whether his father or his grandfather, his father left Armenia. Alright? His father was saved while the Turks were wiping out their whole family. They were cut women's hands and then dumped them in the well. That was how they killed them. The only reason why his father was saved was because his name is Doctorian. And that's because his father is a doctor, his grandfather. Alright? So he said that his own father was a little boy in the house. So one of the soldiers, one of the Turks, took his father and hid him in a cave because his father was kind to him. That is, the doctor man was kind to this Turk. So he hid one of the children. Everybody else in the family was wiped out. Beheading people, cutting off hands, and carrying people who were alive and throwing them into the well. Those who did not kill, they drove into the wilderness, that is, into the desert. Thirst and hunger killed them. Slow death. When God wanted to anoint him, one of the things God told him is, forgive the talks. For what they did to, because he was not there. He was his father that was there. God wanted this man to forgive what they did to his father's family. That's what we're talking about, prayer. That is not using prayer to chase your enemy. It's why you won't go find life. Because you are wasting time. God wants to anoint you heavily. He said, all this evil that has been done against you, and instantly your head starts counting it. Forgive. Forgive. And you're like, how do I forgive that? Okay, I will forgive, but I can't forget. God says, forget. Say, okay, God, sin, you have not crossed the line. How am I supposed to forget? And you wonder, why is he saying forget? It's simple. Because he has the power to help you do it. He does not hold you responsible for not being able to do it. He holds you responsible for refusing to tap into the power to do it. God doesn't give you a commandment that he has not empowered you to obey. So that man prayed, ah, God, you want me to forgive the Turks? So he prayed until forgiveness came out of his heart for the Turks, and he was not able to pray for them. That is what Christians do with prayer. The righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. It's so easy these days. Let me just really warn you ahead of time. Don't learn this nonsense they are trying to teach us, that Christians can divorce their wives. We refuse to learn it. You know what I'm saying? It's because you have not married a wicked woman. I'm not talking about wickedness or niceness. I'm talking about obedience to the word of God and Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. That no matter what you do to me, I will drag you to the place of prayer. And as I'm kneeling there, I'm saying, whatever God has joined together, let no man put us in that. That is, I'm angry. That's why I'm doing like this. But the Bible says, hold on to what? Your confession. So I hold on to that confession. I will do that until my heart starts to soften. I told you before, Jesus prayed 3 times. Why did he do like that? He finished praying, he came out. As he was about to come out, breeze blew on his face. He said, we are not ready. Went back inside. He looked at the disciples, pray. The kind of temptation that is coming. They were sleeping. That is when Christians pray. Please, we are talking about God-centered praying. Forget all this enemy. When they told the disciples, don't preach again, they went and prayed. God, make sure we are not scared of them. Help us to preach with boldness despite their threats. It did not even cross their minds to ask God, please save us from their trouble. Or they said that while we are preaching, stretch forth your hand to deliver, to heal. Do your miracles while we preach. Give us boldness to preach. What is summary? We don't want to disobey you. So when Jesus is giving, listen, as I said, don't learn bad habits. I'm angry the way Christians are trying to, please, I don't mean to cast any aspersion on anybody, but please, some of our prominent ministers are trying to make light of divorcing our wives. We understand your pain. Listen, the number one person that can run you mentally in life is your wife. So I understand that. I've been married for 15 years. So if I tell you that, believe me. And I married a good wife. And I can still tell you that. What about those who married bad wives? Do you know, I look at it sometimes and say, how are they coping? They have fire, thank you. Some people are suffering. Some men are suffering. When you read in the news that one American man just took a gun, shot his wife, shot all his children. Don't think, what is wrong with him? Say, Father God, I draw near to the cross. I obtain grace, mercy. In Jesus' name, I won't shoot anybody. One woman in America took a gun, waited for all her children, killed them one by one. They went to police, said, my children are dead. I killed them. Nothing was wrong with her mentality. She was okay.
She was just frustrated.
Frustration. Frustration. So we know that pressure can exist in life. That's what I'm talking about. But we don't, because of our pressure, justify our disobedience to the word of God. We use that pressure to run to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We run into our own garden and say, our righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees. I want us to pray. Because as I was talking, The one word that was strongest in my mind, both before I came, then I forgot for a while, then suddenly it jumped back into my mind, was the word forgiveness. Many people, to forgive is hard for you. And listen, it's not your fault. I understand. But what have I come here to say this evening? To let you know that no matter how hard it is, there is a grace you can tap into that will make forgiveness easy for you. Where we struggle as Christians is that place of prayer. We don't struggle outside. Jesus did not struggle on the cross. Once he left the garden, it was done. The rest was autopilot. But in the garden, he fought his battle until he won. God sent us praying. We will pray now with just one thing in mind. You will dig inside your heart. If you have nobody you're angry with, just be there and be thanking God. And be receiving strength for every general purpose of life. But for those who are angry with people, let me say this to you, no matter how justified you are, that thing is hindering your progress. God's presence is keeping away from your heart, from your home, from your career, from things that pertain to you because you are justified. Yes, that is, yes, you have a right. No matter how justified you are, it does not change the word of God. He said, your righteousness, if you want to enter into my kingdom, remember I was saying the kingdom of God is not heaven there. It's when heaven comes down to the earth. The kingdom of God is when heaven comes down to the earth. Just like we don't call France a French colony. God doesn't have to tell us kingdom of heaven, heaven. No. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. It's on the earth. He said, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, you cannot enter into that kingdom except your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees. And my message today is that the only way it can surpass is not because we are strong in ourselves, but because we know how to tap into the grace that makes us do a righteousness that surpasses. It applies in every aspect of life. Sometimes God says to you, time to leave what you are doing now and start pursuing something else. Say, how do I do that? You know, I have children, they are going to school. This thing you're saying I should start now, it may take 2 or 3 years to get off. Don't just be bold, just get off. I'm going to grab, go by force. No, you rush to the garden and kneel down there and pray. If it takes you 6 months, remain there until you can come out with confidence. When Jesus came out of the garden, he was ready to face all the beating with confidence. So many areas. But my emphasis for this evening is on forgiveness. Let's ask to our feet and begin to pray. There are two kinds of people you are angry with. One is a set in which they didn't. You thought they did you something. They didn't do anything. You have no right. There are some you have no right to be angry with. I'll give you a few examples. My uncle did not help me. Why should he help you? Some are angry with their father. You think it's his fault that he was poor? Some people are angry with their fathers. As if it's a man's fault that he was poor. If I had gone to school that time, he didn't have money. He used to drink a lot. He was possessed by a drinking spirit. If you don't stop, that spirit will possess you. Go and read Ed Cole. Ed Cole says the law of release is forgiveness. Listen. Many women who are angry with their fathers for what they did to their mothers, marry men who do worse to them. And they don't know why. The way my father treated my mother, I will never take it. So they marry one gentle, jolly, nice bobo. Then he gets possessed by the spirit of affliction that's chasing them around. He gets possessed by that spirit. And they don't realize that they held on to that spirit because they were angry. So Elko says, how do you spell release? When Elko wants to spell release, he says, release is spelled F-O-R-G-I-V-E-N-E-S-S. That's how to spell release. If you read Elko's books, that's what he says. That release is spelled forgiveness. The first set of kind of people that are angry with people, angry for nothing. That's what I call angry for nothing. It's foolish anger, stupid anger, ignorant anger. My uncle was a minister. When I was looking for work, that was when he should have set me up in the biggest banks. That's foolish anger. You have no right to that one. That's first set. The second set are the ones that you really have a right. It was not your fault that you were coming from some place alone and two men gang raped you. That's not your fault. You did business legitimately, waiting for your money. The guy took it and ran to America. You've been waiting for him to just die in that America. The guy has refused to die. That's the annoying part. In fact, he has now built a house. Hey, God, the man you should be killing, you are blessing. That's the second set. But whichever one is yours, please, you have 5 minutes. Let's begin to pray. First, he said, hold fast your confession. So what is that confession? It's the word of God. And that word says simply, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. That's the word of God. So the first thing you begin to recite those words, say, Lord, I know your word. It says, love your enemies. It says, love your enemies. It says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He said, Lord, you have commanded. That's the first thing, though. It's not just to say, I forgive. Start repeating after me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I believe the word of God that says, love my enemies. I love my enemies. The word says, love my enemies. He said, do good to those that despitefully use me. I receive that word. That is the word of God. He says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He said, those who have sinned against me, I have the commandment of God that I must forgive. I have the commandment of God that I must forgive. I have the commandment of God that I must forgive. I have the command. Just be repeating the word of God to yourself. Those commandments are important. How can we keep our way pure? Is by keeping that way according to his word. So he said in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, he said, let us hold fast our confession. What is that confession? It is the word of God. Say to yourself, this is the word of God to me. Love your enemies. Forgive those who despitefully use you. Say, this is your word to me, Lord, and I receive it. I hold on to that word. You have commanded that I should pray for those who persecute me. That I should pray for those who killed my cousins in the north. That I should pray for those who destroyed my father's business while he was in Maiduguri, or in Kaduna, or in Kano. Wherever those riots have been. So this is the word of God, I receive it. Now listen to verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. He said, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. That weakness is inability to obey. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet he did not fall for the temptation, he was without sin. So what you are going to confess against the Lord, I recognize that you, my Lord Jesus, are my high priest. And you understand my weaknesses. You understand my pain. You understand what I have been through. You understand how I feel. You understand my weaknesses. You understand my pains. You know what I have been through. You know how I feel. You know I have been hurt. You know what I have been deprived. You know I have been how I have been persecuted. You know these things. And I know you can feel my pain. Now say to him, say, now I draw near to the throne of grace, so as to receive mercy. I receive grace right now to help me at this time. Now begin to forgive those people. Mention their names. Whether you feel like it or just begin to say it. Mention the fellows and say, according to the word of God and according to the grace of Jesus, I forgive this person. I pray that God will heal him, that God will send his gospel, the gospel to him. That he says, pray that the Lord will send laborers into the harvest. Say, Lord, I pray that you will send the gospel to him. Jesus died for him. Jesus died for her. Jesus died for them. Jesus died for them. Lord, begin to mention their names. I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgive her. I forgive her. According to the word of God. Not according to my feeling. not according to my feeling, but according to the grace of Jesus Christ. I tap into that grace right now. I tap into that grace right now. I tap into that grace right now in the name of Jesus. I tap into that grace. I tap into that grace. I tap into that grace. I receive the ability to forgive. Say, Spirit of God, flow through me in forgiveness. I open my heart. I open my spirit. Open my soul. Spirit of God, flow through me in forgiveness. Flow through me by your power. Flow through me in forgiveness. I forgive according to the instruction of God. Like Corrie ten Boom forgave that guy. I forgive. Like Angelo Tono obeyed the word of God and gave to a man who was trying to defraud him. Say, Lord, I receive the ability. I receive the ability to walk in the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. I receive the ability. Everybody else, whether it's your own is forgiveness or not, use that same principle. You need to obey the word of God somewhere. Use that same principle. I receive the ability to go to the cross. I receive my ability to face my own cross. In the name of Jesus, I do not yield to the flesh. Nevertheless, say it loud to God, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In the name of Jesus, I obey your will. I forsake my own comfort. I turn my eyes away from my comfort. I focus my eyes on my cross. And I walk into it. I walk towards it with boldness, with confidence, in obedience to the word of God. Not by my own power, not by my own might, but by the Spirit of God I do this. Not by my own might, not by my own power, but by the Spirit of God. Let us declare this together as we begin to round up the prayer. Say, I have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Therefore, I hold fast my confession. I hold fast to the word of God. I hold fast the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do good to those who hate me. I forgive those who offend me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, my high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. He can sympathize with my weaknesses. Because he was tempted in everything. Just like I am being tempted. Therefore, I draw near to the throne of grace. I draw near with confidence. I obtain mercy. And I find grace to help. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, no matter how difficult it is, I have forgiven. Because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. Say, I have the Spirit of Christ. I forgive him. I forgive them. I forgive her. I forgive everything. Because the presence of God is now with me. Now say this, I can do all these things. Because Christ is in me. And he strengthens me. Let's begin to give him thanks. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Say, 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 Lord, we thank you. Just thank him because he's good. Thank him because he's good. Thank him because he wants to dwell in your heart. That he wants to make you your own, his own habitation. Say, Lord, I receive you into my heart again. I receive you into my life. Oh, say, Lord, I love them. Let me just give you an instruction quickly. Let me give you an instruction quickly before we leave here. Once, one of my friends, you know, he had just been talking to me about their family. Then one day, I didn't even know, you know, later on, you now start understand that was the Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't know those things. I just, something just in my heart would just say, like, you need to talk to this man. He's angry with his father. So one day I traveled, I just said, oh boy, we need to see you. We're just being on the road. I went through everything. I said, look, you need to forgive your father. I think he didn't cross his mind until that day that he was angry. But when I finished, he said, I needed to hear that. And what are you going to do? It's not just, okay, I forgive. That is true. It's right. All right? I like what the pastor Paul used to say. He said, forgive. And he now says, give. And he shall be given out. He said, so, forgiveness is that thing you do before you give. Do you understand my point? So I told him that, listen, this is what you do for your father, and I'm giving you as an instruction now. He said, I don't have much, but he has a phone. You can buy him 200 naira credit. It's not for him, it's for you. Are you getting my point? When you give it to him, it's not for you. It's not really for him. You are releasing yourself. Once I went to where to go and preach. In fact, and I look back, I said, that guy is the reason why we came to do that program. He came from a neighboring village. He heard I was coming, and he came to see me. What was his issue? He said his father is not behaving like a father at all. That I need to talk to him now before he does something very terrible. This is a summary of it. When he finished telling me everything, I told him, you are not serious at all. Whatever your father is doing, doesn't concern you. If he takes his money, collects a millionaire, sets fire to it, and starts smoking the smoke, it's not your money. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a farmer. I said, what do you farm? He said, I farm poultry. I said, good. Every weekend, when you are leaving your farm, pass by your father's place, drop half a crate of eggs. It's not too expensive. You can afford that, he was looking at me. Periodically, a festival will come. Dress, you know, two birds and give to him. I don't mean wear pata and a singlet, whatever I mean. You know what I mean by dress. You kill, roast, do everything, go to him. I said, Christmas comes. How much did they sell one drum of paint? Buy, pay one boy to go to the house and just give it a coating. I said, this is how you get blessed as a young man. I said, do that and you will prosper beyond your imagination. I'm giving that story, I'm telling that story again so that everybody here will take instructions from it. Call your father and greet him. Send him a recharge card. I was telling you just now about how I bought my father a car, you know. Oh, you have money. But that was not the first thing I bought one. The first thing I used to be buying for my father was Hings. You know, Hings, set. And men's briefs. That was what I could afford. That was what I could afford. Then things stepped up until I could buy clothes. And then one day, I got paid money. It was enough to deposit for a man who bring me a whole car. That is how people forgive. Not just by mouth. So I'm giving you an instruction today. You say, I don't have much money. Go to the market. Get a barrel. Push barrel for 2 days. For that purpose. After that, you can return to poverty if you want. Are you getting my point? Go and do, find work to do. Like I keep on saying, should I say yes? Go and sell 10 copies on campus. Don't worry, you make 200 naira on each copy. That's 2,000 naira. Then buy 1,500 naira recharge card and send to your mother. You have started. When you begin that, hear ye the word of the Lord. Doors will open for you. Amen. Yes, doors that have been closed, that's why they were closed. No witch is after you, that's where the witch sat. The doors of unforgiveness. That's how the witch blocked your progress. That witch you have been chasing. That's why you've done everything that has not gone away. Freedom is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. Because you are good. Your word is liberating. Your word is liberating. Thank you for liberation tonight again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.